for women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
Hello, girls. Here we are again. Last time we talked about Anna Nicole Smith and this tragedy that followed her death. It was bad enough that a young woman should die, a woman that probably did not know the Lord Jesus as her Savior. We also talked about Bart Ehrman being influenced by Dr. Bruce Metzger from Princeton, and how Dr. Metzger has died. And I thought about James Brown, who's probably buried by now, but I have to make this broadcast before I know for sure, and the fighting that's over his body. I saw his last wife, that's in quotes because many people don't think she was a legal wife. I saw her interviewed and talking about him and her love and her little boy. And it's a shame when families cannot get along, when people do not choose the right people to marry, and so they end up with all this wrangling, and especially when drugs get involved, especially moneyed people who are on drugs. We talked about others who had died, and it's very sad, but, you know, I want to tell you about, no matter the age of the person, the parent who's left, or the parent who dies, or the child who dies, or the child who's left. Doesn't matter the year, no matter if it's this year, last year, 100 years ago, or 1,000 years ago. A mother's grief is the same. I think about Eve, the first mother, and her grief when Cain died. She had double grief because not Cain, Abel died. Cain was the one who killed his brother, so there was double grief for Eve. Abel was dead. And Cain was the same as dead almost. He had to be banished. And poor Eve. The result of her eating of the, giving the fruit to Adam and his eating of it and her taking it. All of that's a result of sin. All of this death, all of this sadness is a result of sin. That's why Jesus came. He loved us so much. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He came so that this death disease, this death sentence that we all have could be taken away by repenting of our sin, accepting what he did for us on the cross, and having our sins forgiven. Well, there seemed to be a question who Tutankhamun's mother was. Was Tut's mother, who was she? We don't know. Just because she was in Egypt and lived hundreds of years ago, was her grief any less than those who suffer loss today? I remember Jacob in the Bible. I remember his tears in Genesis. We read that when he was told that his son Joseph was killed by a wild beast. Of course, it was a lie, but lies can be believed when told with conviction. Probably King Tut's mother was a lesser wife of his father, the ruler who turned Egypt into a monotheistic nation. But that conversion was not to the true God of Israel. At the time, all had to bow to the sun god from then on, and woe be to those who didn't. But later, during Tut's reign, Tut revived the religious fervor of the country to the old ways, which of course were just as heathen and as corrupt as his father's. If you remember this, it's very interesting. So Tut came back to the religion of many gods, even though he had a very brief life. He started his reign when he was about 9 years old. I remember the grief my mother had when her 20-year-old daughter, my sister Audrey, died a painful, cancerous death. That was about 55 years ago. The reason I'm bringing this all up, I'm thinking of the grief of people. I was thinking of Anna Nicole's mother's grief, even though they seem to be estranged, mother and daughter. She's had grief. And I think of other people's grief, your grief, my grief, and then King Tut's mother's grief, if she was still living at the time. As I said before, I walked around the museum with a thing in my ear. Maybe I didn't tell you that. Maybe I didn't tell you. Maybe I skipped that part. I guess I did. That I went to there and I visited. I guess I forgot to start this reading where it really began. And I jumped ahead. King Tutankhamun was 19 or 20 years when he was not allowed to rest in peace. Even though those who loved him and were his mentors quickly hid him away in a small tomb in the sands of Egypt, and then he was discovered there. Since then, his most private, personal, precious treasures are being displayed all over the world. And I saw him in his gold at the museum there in Egypt when Dr. Wade and I visited in the 80s. That was right over there in Egypt. But right now, anyone who pays the money can go over to the Franklin Institute in Philadelphia and stare at the artifacts of one's heart, to one's heart content. And Dr. Wade and I were two of them, and our daughter came with them. She was up here for my birthday. Well, I walked around the museum with a thing in my ear, listening to some famous voice tell me all about a dead man the same age as the late Danny Smith, Anna Nicole's fallen son. And so then I went on to tell you, I'm sorry I didn't read that paragraph first, because I related to King Tut's mother, how she must have felt, and then my mother, and all these children, they were young adults, who died were 19 or 20. So now let's see, where did I leave off here? As I said before, I walked around the museum with a thing in my ear, listening to some famous voice telling me all about a dead man the same age as Nicole's fallen son. And then I told you several times my sister was that age also. There was hope of eternal life for Audrey because my sister knew the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. Yet that death was difficult. I don't know what it's like to have a child die. I understand it as a piercing pain. It never goes away. It only dulls with the years. I've had pain with one of my children. His suffering and mine, along with my husband's, were felt deep within our beings, but it wasn't death. Sometimes I thought death would have been easier for him and for me, but God. Anna Nicole had no hope when her 20-year-old son died. She was so distraught, we are told, that she threw herself into the coffin begging for her child to be revived. Did King Tut's mother have such grief? Grief is a lonely burden. It cannot be shared. We read in Isaiah that Jesus bore our grief at Calvary. How else could we bear it at all? We read that Tut's young wife was beside herself writing a letter to a Hittite king asking for one of their princes to be her husband. This did not materialize. The fate of Egypt was at stake. Well, there has been much conjecture how King Tut died. I don't know if you've ever thought about him or not. Only in the very recent years was a CT scan done on his battered body. That was in March of 2005. It had been previously thought that a blow of the head had killed him, but now they feel the hole was there when his brains were sucked out during embalming. A friend of mine said in those days the brains were thrown out for they were thought to have no more use after death. Other organs were included in the tombs, such as the heart or the kidneys and the liver. They were weighed separately and put in separate urns with golden masks on the deceased sealing the openings. Now, from the more modern CT scans of the mummified body of Tut, it is believed that Tutankhamun injured his leg in a fall or in a battle. It festered and took his life. He probably suffered very much. They say they know he was young because of his teeth. From all that time, I gather, from all that, those remains, though broken and divided, with his head separated from his torso, because the original man who first looked at him and x-rayed him couldn't get him out of his box. Well, this still lies in the many caskets and golden mass sarcophagus in the original tomb that Howard Carter, the discoverer, discovered in November of 26, 1922. As weird as it sounds to me, and I may not be reading this correctly as I read all these things about him, every time science wants to view the mummy of Tut, or take pictures of it, he is pulled out of his resting place, which has become far from final, or a final resting place. His body was mummified like Joseph's in the book of Genesis, only Joseph's body was treated with respect. Tut's body had been pried from the resin that stuck his back to the golden container in which he laid. After all, he was there for many years. And he lay there for a little less than 3,300 years. His ugly remains have been pulled and pushed and cut and examined, as far as I'm concerned, with little to no respect. It's rather sad. All the toys and trinkets and chariots and boats and that were buried with him, all his favorite things, have been taken from his body and from the tomb, so you and I can be amazed at the glory of Egypt's past. After looking at it all, tiring myself out, really looking at it, and pondering the whole time at the museum, I wondered what it means when people say of the dead, rest in peace. That certainly doesn't pertain to the boy king of Egypt who began his reign at the age of 9 over 3,000 years ago. Now my final word on the subject is this, but don't count on it. At least all the above-mentioned people have not been cremated. They were not cremated. Even the Egyptians had more respect for the bodies of their loved ones than some of the people today do for theirs. All this talk about where to be buried makes me realize that we must plan for our final expenses, as the TV ad says, and the place for us to be laid at our death, or we will have absolutely no say in it after we are gone. When my parents died, they had it all planned and paid for. It made it much easier for me. I guess I am at the age in life that I should seriously make some plans for the spot I want to be raised from when Jesus comes and calls me for him with his mighty shout. That will be the day, the glad day. I am ready. Are you? The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Will your judgment be the judgment where God condemns you to hell? Or will your judgment be the one that the saved people have at the Bema Seat when we are judged for our works? Isaiah writes, "Look unto me and be ye saved, for I am God and there is no one else." I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. Do you? I'm under his care. Are you?
You've been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@bibleforToday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.